Whoa. What's up, everybody? So I'm going to quote the great theologian this morning. You guys may have heard of him. His name is Kip. I love technology not as much as you see, right? Sometimes technology, I love it. Nobody loves technology more than I do, but sometimes it just gets on my nerves. Anyway, so that we had a little malfunction this morning. Fantastic. Hey, you know, it's funny, as they were singing that last song, God of the Rescue, I was thinking, and I love the way Shelly kind of mentioned how the greatest rescues happen when you're in the deepest waters, right? Like when you're in the most peril and in the most trouble, that's the greatest rescue. And you know what's funny about that is that when you're being rescued, the rescuer never asks, hey, did you get yourself into this mess? They just rescue you, like no questions asked. And I think that's what God does with us sometimes. He's not like, hey, man, I don't care if you're the one that got you into this mess or if you got a crazy family and that kind of led you to get into the mess that you're in. He's just like, I'm here to rescue you. No questions asked. Where's my organ? Morgan, where's my organ? There it is. Morgan plays the organ for me. It's fantastic. So this week, we're going to wrap up our Love Handle series. And let me just kind of give a disclaimer. We're going to talk about some pretty touchy stuff for just a little bit. So if you guys are not comfortable with that, you know, you can step out. It's point three. We're going to talk about sex and pornography and some of that stuff. So if you need to step out for that point, you're absolutely welcome to do that. Just got to give a disclaimer, right? Just don't want anybody to be blindsided. But, you know, it's funny to me that the average age that a kid is exposed to pornography is 11. And so if we can't talk about it in church, they're going to find out about it somewhere. So just, man, I got some love this morning. All right. So anyway, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to give you kind of some ideas and some ways to protect the love. Because if you don't protect it, it's not going to work. It's not going to last. And so we're going to give you kind of some do's and don'ts and ways to help you have successful and working relationships. Because here's the deal. This is what I know. Some people are in relationships and I'm like, dog, what are you doing, right? But people are going to do what people are going to do. I don't know why people ask me for advice. Just stop because you don't listen. I am so serious. I'm just going to get a sign that says, I don't know, okay? Because I do know, but you don't listen to what I have to know, and then you do what you want to do anyway, and you end up in a more precarious situation, and you ask me what you're supposed to do. And I was like, if you would have listened to me the first time, we never would have been in this situation. It doesn't frustrate me at all. So I know people are going to do what they're going to do, and you're going to be in relationships that you want to be in, whether they're the greatest for you or not. So if nothing else, we're going to give you some love handles, right? Some things that you can hold on to and kind of make these things work and make them be as successful as they can be. I thought about calling it, I think I told you guys this last week, I thought about calling it 50 Shades of No. But I decided against it because I don't want it to be viewed as a negative thing. I don't want it to be negative. I want it to be viewed as a positive thing. These are things that we can bring into our relationships to make them work and make them successful and make them healthy. So instead of negative, we're going positive, right? Oftentimes, we buy into misconceptions about relationships and what it takes to make a happy relationship, you know, because, I mean, the images that get put before us and what we are told is successful and healthy and working is rich and sexy, right? I mean, look at the magazine covers, look at the Hollywood stars. And this is what's so funny. Like all of the movies that portray what real love is, the people that actually portray those roles, their real love life stinks. Like they're divorced every 2 years. It's not real love to me, but you know, what do I know, right? So this morning, we're going to set a few things straight. Can we do that? Let's do that. That's my son. He kind of, you know, that is dat. So we're going to do that, right? The first one is this. Guard your heart and appearances. And I think it was good just to kind of lump those two things together. Guard your heart and appearances. And we'll make sense of all this if that sounds like a really spiritual thing. If you want it to work, you just got to protect it. You've got to guard it. And I think about how many of you guys are familiar with history at all, right? So old cities, like when they established a city, they would fortify the city with a wall. They would fortify it with a wall around the city. And the protection and the safety of the city was hinged on the strength of the wall protecting the city. And the same thing is true in your life. You got to guard your heart. You got to guard your appearances. You got to put up walls and not allow certain things in. Because if you allow certain things in, they're going to destroy your relationship. And we'll talk about some of specifics here in a minute. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this. It says, guard your heart above all else. Right? I mean, do you kind of get the importance? Above everything else, nothing else matters as much as guarding your heart, for it determines the course of your life. Like the direction of your life, the choices that you make, how well it goes or how poor it goes, all depends on how well you guard your heart. Our relationships and our hearts need to be protected. So here's some real life examples. Like I mentioned this because this one seems like such a no-brainer, but people do it. And I'm like, oh, come on, dog. If you're a dude, let me hear something, dudes. What? All right. Yeah. Yeah. If you're a dude, don't be messaging a chick on Facebook that isn't your, you know, other, your significant other or whatever they are. That seems pretty obvious, right? I mean, don't be texting them. Don't be texting them. And this is what people do. Oh, she's my friend. Bruh. Come on, bro. Right? You can be friends and you can have, okay, make it a group message with your girlfriend. And then you can have that conversation. Make it a group message on Facebook with your girlfriend or your wife or whatever it is. Then you can have that conversation. Anything that's done in private is done in private for a reason. Morgan, you missed it. You missed it. There it is. There it is. Man, just come on, man. We got to be smart about that stuff. Like, you got to guard your heart because, and you can have the best of intentions starting out. It could be nothing malicious. It could be nothing that you kind of want to develop into something that's like that. But if you're not careful, you'll go that way. And it's just, dude, you got to remember that your heart is prone to wander. Like, your heart is not pure. Your heart is not magnetically. There we go. That's the word. Magnetically prone to follow God. Your heart is prone to wonder. And so you got to keep that thing in check. You got to guard it. You got to protect it. And one of the ways we do that is to not put ourselves in situations where we're more prone to fail. So if you're married or you're dating or you're kind of serious, just don't get yourself in those kind of situations. It's just not a good idea. It's like if going back to the city analogy. It's just like taking the whole wall down. Oh, we're going to take this wall down. Nobody's going to attack us. Good luck with that, right? This one seems very old school and very traditional, but, you know, people that employ this have successful relationships. People that don't, they end up in bad situations. Try to avoid situations where you are alone with someone of the opposite sex that isn't your other, and sometimes even your other. Like, if you're not married and, like, you know, it's 12 o'clock at night and you're alone with your girlfriend and then Marvin Gaye mysteriously comes on, what do you think's going to happen, right? Bow, chicka, bow, wow. Try to avoid situations, but we're not even talking about that. We're not even going there. I'm saying if you're married, don't go in a situation where you're with somebody of the opposite sex alone. I heard a story about Billy Graham. Do you guys, everybody know who Billy Graham is? Probably the greatest, probably the most well-known pastor evangelist of I don't know, the 20th century, right? Whatever that is. And so Billy Graham, when he was going to a city to preach, they would fly him into the airport and somebody would go pick him up and take him to wherever it is that he was going to preach. And if they sent a woman to pick him up, he would send her back. And it's not a you know, chauvinist thing at all. He's just like, I'm not going to be in the car alone with you because I'm going to guard my heart and I'm going to guard my appearances. Nobody can look at me riding in the car with another dude and think, oh, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to be alone with another woman, so people could make assumptions about what's going on there. He wouldn't do it. And if it's good enough for Billy Graham, it's good enough for me. Keep your emotions. This is the next one. Keep your emotions properly channeled. And we kind of alluded to this a little bit. Like, your heart, if you're not guarding it, it's the tendency or the proclivity is to go where it's not supposed to go. And so you see people, 99% of affairs don't begin physically. They begin emotionally. You're falling behind. It's good. The struggle is real. But she's taking notes. That's why. Note takers are history makers. Boom. All right. So 99% of affairs, they don't start physically. They start emotionally. Like, you feel an emotional connection to somebody that you work with or you're at school with or you're around a lot or whatever the situation is. And so what we've got to do is you've got to keep those things where they're supposed to be. Like, I've got to keep my emotions channeled toward my wife, not anybody else. And you can't allow other people to have the place of prominence that they're supposed to have in your life. And so that one seems kind of strange, but man, I promise you, if you guard that, everything else will kind of take care of itself because it always starts on the inside. Anyway, I got to quit playing the organ. Sorry. The next one is this. And this one is kind of for you to fill in the gaps or make it whatever you need to make it. Take it to the extreme. Like, be extreme about guarding your heart and guarding your appearances. Be crazy. Like, be one of those people that people look at and you're like, man, you're a nut job. And I'm okay with that. Like, I would much rather be a nut job and have a successful marriage than be cool and, you know, end up in a stupid situation, right? And so take it to this is a funny story. Take it to the extreme. Shelly, how many of you guys have iPhones, right? Everybody's got an iPhone. If you don't, I'm praying for you. So Shelly has an iPhone, and we have two nieces. And so one of them is not even two. How old is Avery? She just turned two, and she knows how to use the iPhone better than most adults, which is crazy. And so Shelly downloaded this app. It was called Tom, or Tom the Tomcat, I don't know, or something like that. And so it's so funny. You know, apps will send you an alert, and it pops up and says that you need to do something with respect to that app. You guys know what I'm talking about. You look at me like I'm an idiot, right? Right. Okay. So Shelly she looks at her phone, and it says, Tom needs you to pet him. And she deleted the app. She's like, I don't want somebody to pick up my phone and see that it says, Tom needs you to pet him. Like, this is some kind of creepy, you know, R-rated Snapchat thing. I don't know. So she deleted it or turned the alerts off or whatever it was. And, you know, we had a joke with it. I was like, oh, that's my new nickname, Tom. Hey. Anyway. So just take it to the extreme. Like, I know that may seem extreme, but you know, she wants to guard her appearances. She didn't want anybody just to happen to look at her phone and something that may or may not, you know, be wrong, or it could be completely innocent, could be viewed as wrong. She's not even going there. She's not going to take that chance. So that's the first one, is just to guard your heart and to guard your appearances. That's the first big point with several sub points. You guys following? If you're taking notes, it's like, you know, point one and subpoint A, B, C, and D. Good. Point two, being single is okay. Being single is okay. Oh, the single ladies. That's overplayed, right? Being single is okay. You don't have to be in a relationship. You don't have to be in a relationship. And this is what's so funny. Like, people think, the people that make fun of people that aren't in relationships are in subpar relationships. So I would much rather be in the situation where I'm not in a relationship than being in a dumb relationship. But that's just me, right? What do I know? So many people settle for subpar relationships and bad relationships just for the sake of being in a relationship. I don't know. Why don't you go stick your finger in a meat grinder for the sake of sticking your finger in a meat grinder? I mean, that's the logic, right? I'm going to do something that's bad and not fun and not healthy just for the sake of doing it. It just doesn't make any sense. It's not healthy, and it creates really poor patterns. Like, the way that you date is eventually the way the patterns that you create when you date are the patterns that you're going to have when you mate. I'm trying to make it rhyme, but it actually was pretty good for a white dude. What? This may help. This may help. Even if you don't have a significant other, you're still significant. And so many people, they attach their identity to who it is that they're with. And man, that's so unhealthy. You gotta be you first. And then you can find somebody that you can join your life with without trading in who you are. But you gotta be you. You gotta work on you. You gotta grow yourself before you ever think about being in a serious relationship with somebody else. And if you're needy like that, you need to be in a relationship, you're in a bad spot. Like, you don't need to be in a relationship if you have those kind of needs, like you this emotional attachment to people. It's just not healthy. It's not good. And I think you guys kind of all understand that. Rather than running around desperately looking for somebody to be in a relationship with, be content with the season of life that you're in. Use this time to grow. And it's funny to me. People are so concerned with finding the right person. Stop being concerned with finding the right person and start focusing on becoming the right person. Everybody Bernie, I don't know. Yeah. There isn't anything wrong. Here's the deal. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be in a relationship. I think it's a very natural desire. I think everybody, I mean, that's something that most people have inside of them. They want to be in a relationship. They want to get married. Everybody wants to have 2.5 kids and a white picket fence. Where does the half come from? Who knows, right? Stop. We just have to be sure that that doesn't become the focus. That doesn't become the thing. You got to focus on you and your relationship with God, and you got to grow there. Then those things kind of happen, right? And I'm just convinced if you're looking for a place to find somebody, go to church. Don't listen, it's so funny to me, like people that are looking for love in the club, and you find what you find and you get what you get. Right? I mean, because, you know, if you start dating somebody in the club that's been twerking with 30 other dudes, what do you think she's going to do when y'all start dating? She's going to be twerking with 30 other dudes. What do I know? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. This is what Paul said. And I mean, I thought this was really, it's kind of fascinating because it kind of runs the gamut. It talks about single people and it talks about married folk. And this is what it says. I wish that all were as I am myself. Paul was a single guy, and his sole focus, his sole purpose in life was Jesus and the gospel and kind of and the work that he was called to do by God. So it says, I wish that everybody was like I am, right? Paul wants everybody to be single. I think Paul's wrong. This is his opinion, by the way. We can do that. But each of us has his own gift from God. One of one kind and one of another. Like some of us have a gift of being single. Like we don't view singleness as a gift, but it can be, right? And so some of us have that gift and others have the gift of finding somebody to do life with. So to the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. And this is what's funny about this verse. A lot of people, especially young Christian folks, that can't control it, they want to use this verse as an excuse to get married, and that's not what it means. Like, come on, man. I mean, right? What do I know? For it's better to marry than to burn with passion. And so this is kind of the takeaway from that is, like, Paul's like, dude, if you want to get married, absolutely. It's a gift for some people. For me, being single is a gift, so being single is okay. And I think one of the takeaways from this is, like, if you can find somebody that will help you complete your ministry. Like every one of us have a gift from God, a purpose from God to complete. And if you can find somebody to complete that, then that's absolutely the route that you should go. But if they compete with that route, then that's not where you need to go. That's my peanut gallery over there. I like these people. I'm moving over here. Bring this with me. No, I'm just kidding. So, man, I think that's huge. Like for example, I'll give you an example with Shelley and I. Like, I didn't know, we weren't even saved when I wasn't saved when Shelly and I started dating, which is a bad idea. Don't do it. Shelly was wrong. It just happened to work out good. We don't believe in missionary dating, right? You're a missionary and you're going to go save somebody by dating them. Not going to happen. I mean, that's like the 1% of the time that this actually works out. So I didn't know when Shelly and I got married that she was going to be this. I mean, I knew she could sing, but I didn't know she was like bad, right? I didn't know she had all of this ability. I didn't know that I was going to be in ministry. I didn't know that I was going to be a pastor. And so I think, you know, we figured this stuff out as we go and we complete each other. The things that she's called to do, I help her do. The things that I'm called to do, she helps me to do. So we complete each other. But if she hated the church and hated Jesus and we got married, what do you think that would do for my calling and my purpose? It would compete with it, right? So don't go with people, don't date people, don't marry people that compete. Marry with people that complete. Mm. The third one, this is the touchy one. Everybody close your eyes for 30 seconds. If you need to get out of the room, go. No, I'm just kidding. The third one is this. Remember, you are not above temptation. Let me be very honest and very upfront with you. There are greater men than me that have fallen. Like guys that I respected so much. Like guys that I viewed as a spiritual father have fallen to this crap, to this stuff, these pressures and these things. And man, you want to talk about rock your world, like just devastating, because these people that you esteemed and you thought they were unflappable and you know, awesome, and they fall to sexual temptation because it's real. I don't think there's any temptation stronger for us than the temptation, you know, kind of towards sexuality and some of the deviances of that. So this is probably one of the most important aspects of keeping fidelity and integrity in our relationships, is don't think that you're above the temptation to do something along those lines, right? We have to be proactive in guarding our relationships from sexual temptation. This is where, because, you know, it's funny to me. I've heard people say, oh, man, you know, I'm not really tempted like that. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I ain't worried about that. I ain't got time for that. right? Samson, everybody knows Samson, strongest man in the Bible, right? Samson was a bad dude. David was the most spiritual man in the Bible, man after God's own heart. Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible, wisest man that ever lived, the Bible says. And sex got every one of them. Samson had his issue with Delilah. David had his issue with Bathsheba. Solomon had his issue with a bunch of people. He had issues, right? Sex got every one of them. None of us are above the temptation to go that route. So we just got to guard against it. And this could look like a ton of different things. But the most prevalent in our society is pornography. Man, like there, just the accessibility. I mean, you have your iPhones, you have your iPads, you have computers, you have television. I mean, there's so many routes and ways that this can get into your life, and you've just got to safeguard against it. I mean, some people, like, I would be absolutely okay if you just took your iPhone and smashed it. If that's the extreme that you need to go to get this stuff out of your life, you can look at the numbers. They're staggering. We went to a youth pastors conference one time when Shelly and I were youth pastors. We went to a conference. And they had one of the, have you guys seen those little polls? It's kind of like they do, like, I don't know, what are the game shows, right? Whose Line Is Anyway? That's not it. Now, who wants to be a millionaire, right? Is that your final answer? Okay. Where they poll the audience. We're out of water out there, so I'm just parched and dying up here, so it's fantastic. Just thought I should bring that up so that we get water next week. That's my way of making a subtle implication, right? And so, anyway, on Whose Line Is It Anyway, they would poll everybody, and you could kind of send in your answer. So we were at a youth pastors conference, and they asked a question. There were 2,000 people there or so, and they said, how many of you have viewed pornography in the last 2 weeks? 75%. A youth pastors conference. So if that happens to people that are in ministry that love God and are really trying their best to follow Jesus, how do you think it affects the world that we live in? It's a problem. It's a real significant problem. So we've got to guard ourselves against it. And these things, it's funny to me that people, it's art. You're an idiot. I'm just, like I said last week, art, I heard this quote, and I think this is so true. Art is whatever you can get away with. Like, and people will push it as far as they possibly can. It's not art. It's debilitating, it's defacing, it's dehumanizing people. It's a lot of other D words that I can't really say in church. Thought you guys would get the joke, but you didn't. I could give so many examples. Like, well, you could look at the numbers. I could give you real life examples. I could give you names of people whose lives this is messed up, whose relationships this is messed up. But we just don't even have to do that. This is what's funny. It's funny to me. How many of you guys know of GQ magazine, right? We say that a lot. What's up, GQ? You look good. You look fly, right? GQ, Gentleman's Quarterly. It's really kind of a provocative magazine. Has a lot of stupid stuff in it. Like, I bought it when Shelly and I first got married. I was like, oh man, I'm gonna be fly. I'm gonna look good for my wife. You know what? Learn how to dress. Hey, and then I bought one issue, and I'm like, I'm done. I mean, it's because it was stupid. It was filthy, my opinion. And so I saw somebody share an article from GQ on Facebook. So I didn't look at the magazine. So you don't try to make connections that aren't there. And this was the title of the article, 10 Reasons You Should Stop Watching Porn, from GQ Magazine, not from Christianity Today, right? GQ Magazine, and they gave 10 reasons that we should stop watching porn as a society. And if they're telling us that, like this secular, sexual magazine is telling us that, how much more should we as followers of Jesus buy into it, hook, line, and sinker? Like, man, you got to guard yourself. You got to protect yourself against that. The greatest problem with allowing things like this into your life is it clouds your judgment between what's real and what's fantasy. Right? That's a fantasy. That ain't real. That's not the real thing. Ain't nothing like that. Look at this. I saw you coming with water, and it was like, hallelujah. Did somebody backwash?
This is awkward. I just talked into the water bottle.
That doesn't work, does it? Thank you. So that's the greatest problem with it, is it distinguishes, I mean, it clouds the line, it blurs the line between what's realistic and what's a fantasy. And you start to expect a fantasy to be reality, and there's no possible way for that to happen. And you start to make people things, you objectify people, and that's not who they are. They're humans with real emotions like a TV screen can't get through or communicate. Like, do we understand that? Like, they're people, real people. And if you want to have a real relationship with somebody, you're not going to have a fantasy like that. When we watch things that aren't realistic, it creates false and unrealistic expectations. And this is what's crazy to me, just crazy. I've even heard of married couples that because one or the other is watching pornography, they have no intimate relationships because the fantasy and the reality are so different that they don't want anything to do with fantasy. They don't want anything to do with reality. They prefer fantasy. What do you think that does to the other person? Like, it just destroys them, destroys their security, destroys their confidence, all because you want to fix on fantasy, right? Stop, right? I know nobody in here has an issue with that. I'm talking to other people in the world. Married people that have these kind of issues, I've even heard, and this is, I just want to slap people sometimes. You ever do that, right? Just, can we do that? Can we institute a rule that if you're doing something just dumb, that we just get to open hand slap you. And that's it. You stop doing what you're doing, and everybody's happy. Everybody wins. But I've even heard of married couples that try to bring pornography into their relationship. That never ends well. All right, that was a great idea. Because when you're in bed and y'all are having sex in bed, that he's having sex with somebody else in his head, whatever. Don't just be physically monogamous. Be spiritually and emotionally monogamous, like with one another, just the two of you, just the two of us. What? Man, if you guys grew up in the 90s, we'd be feeling it right now. Don't confuse, I'm just kind of just cruising through this. Don't confuse physical pleasure with love. Don't confuse physical pleasure with love. When you're not married and you're having sex, you're not making love, you're having sex. Don't confuse physical pleasure with love. There's a just a huge difference. The commitment is different. The emotional connection is different. The spiritual reality is different because there's this thing that happens during sex. It's called a release of a chemical called oxytocin. It's a bonding agent. Like, it makes you just desire this person on emotion, not physically, but you connect with this person on such a deeper level and you want to be around them, and it's a connection that happens because of this chemical released in your brain called oxytocin. And it's almost as if the Bible is true, where it says in Genesis chapter 2, 24, it says, that's why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. It's like this oxytocin that's released. It binds you together. It glues you together. And that's what happens. It's a spiritual connection, emotional connection, not just a physical connection. So that's the third one. We're done with all the hard stuff. Everybody's good. Remember, you're not above the temptation. You're not above the possibility of falling to some of this stuff. So you've got to set up safeguards in your life. Dude, there are so many filters and things that you can put on your computer, you can put on your iPhone, you can put on your iPad that block that junk. So if you need to do that, do that. There's one we promote or are proponents of one called X3 Watch. So check it out. It's good. It's fantastic. Change your life. Right? Last one is this, and this is going to be fun. Think before you speak. If you want to have a working and healthy and happy relationship, think before you speak. Because how many times, dudes, how many times you said something and you're like, oh, am I the only one? Come on, give me a show of hands. All the dudes have been like, ah, right? I'll do just stupid. And I'm getting better now that I'm, no. Not really, right? It's just think before you speak. Before you say something that you can't get back, the words that we speak are unretrievable and sometimes they do irreparable damage, especially if you're a dude talking to a lady, because this is what ladies do. Like, you say something and you think that's it, they locked it in the vault. And 374 days later, they're going to ask you, you remember when you said this? And you're like, nah, I don't remember that. And you really don't. Like, man, it's gone in your head, but she remembers where you were, what you were wearing, how you said it, what you said, what the implications were, what color the sky was, what the barometric pressure was, what the humidity was, everything about the moment she remembers because you didn't think before you spoke. The ramifications, man, they're real. They're real. You got to think before we speak. If you want it to work, if you want it to be successful, man, just remember, always choose life. Choose to build up, not to tear down. Choose to encourage, not to discourage. And here's the thing. That's not to say that you can't have conflict. You can have conflict. It's not what you say. It's how you say what you say. And you guys are getting it. This is good. I love this church. I would come to this church if I wasn't a pastor. I mean, that says a lot, right? I do. So here's some things in Scripture that kind of help us to really get a hold of this. James chapter 1, verse 26. And because this is, man, this one, if you're one of those guys that you talk down to your wife and you're supposedly like this great Christian dude, this one's for you. Put it in your pocket and save it for later, right? Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. I don't know. I thought that was really heavy. And I'm just thinking about people specifically. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. Right? But that's the thing. Like, here's the deal. If you say that you're a Christian, you say that you love God, and you want that to be the center of your relationship, but you don't think before you speak, you don't keep a tight rein on your tongue, or you talk down to your significant other, your religion is worthless, bruh. Like, just think about the way that we are represented in the world. Imagine that if you go out, you're a couple, you go out to a restaurant, and a waitress comes up, and she's waiting on you, and she overhears your conversation, she listens to the things that you say, and the entire time you're demeaning and degrading and talking down to the other person. What do you think they think about your religion? I don't want none of that. Ain't nobody got time for that, right? James chapter 1, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. These are so poetic and so cool and so powerful. It says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Isn't that cool? I don't know if that was Solomon or Shakespeare. Somebody wrote that. A word fitly spoken. So it's a word spoken at the right time, in the right way, when they really needed it. Man, maybe they were just having a bad day, and you say the right thing. You kind of know how to build them up. You choose to do that because you got to choose to do it. It doesn't happen naturally, right? So a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I'm not really sure what apples of gold in settings of silver look like. I just know that silver and gold cost a lot of money. I'm like, hey, it's good, right? I guess you guys don't like money. So before you leave, just give all your money to the church, and we'll gladly take that off your hands. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. It says this. And man, this one's so good. Because when the conflict kind of, you know, happens, and it happens in every relationship, I think good relationships have a lot of conflict. It's just the right kind of conflict, and you work through things. You know, that Shelly and I, we are firm believers that the greatest asset to making a relationship work is conflict resolution. Like, not just, we're not going to fight, but we know how to fight. There's a big difference. So Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words makes tempers flare. So let's just say, real life example, somebody pops off at the mouth, which they have a tendency to do. If you had an experience like that this week where you just wanted to tell somebody to shut up, I don't know. Like, the older I get, this is so bad. You're supposed to get more mature as you get older. Like, the older I get, my kind of default response to stupid is shut up, and I got to work on that. I'm a work in progress. I'm a pastor in progress, all right? But we have situations like this, and you can choose to give kind of the harsh answer, and the harsh answer stirs up anger. It perpetuates the problem, or you can give a gentle answer, and a gentle answer turns away wrath. You disarm people. Like, if somebody's just furious and you're like, you know, however you're going to diffuse the situation, but you diffuse it, like, you take all of the power out of their hands when you use a gentle answer. You choose to say what you're going to say gently. You think before you speak. Because the natural reaction is, don't come at me, bruh, right? Or girl. if you're a girl. So I think just that's it. Think before you speak. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. So those are the four things that we're going to look at this morning. We're not going to keep going with the list. We could probably go for days and days and days. But those are some ways that you can protect the love. The first one, guard your heart, man. You got to build a wall around your heart. Only allow things in that are good for you and the relationship. The second one is, look, if you're single, that's okay. There is nothing wrong with you if you're single. Like, that's absolutely most of you. There's nothing wrong with you if you're single, right? If you're crazy and you're single, there's a reason. Just saying. The third one, don't think that you're above the temptation to fall to sexual temptation. Man, just guard yourself from that. Like, there's so many ways that you can do that, but you've got to be proactive in doing it. Don't think that you're above it. And then the last one is think before you speak. I've told you guys before, we have a thing in our brains called the prefrontal cortex. And if you're under 25 and you're a dude, you kind of get a pass because yours isn't fully developed yet. I'm just telling you what the numbers say, man. And so, dudes, their prefrontal cortex is still developing sometimes. They say things that just appear, and it's obvious that they haven't thought it through. Have you ever heard somebody say something? You're like, you really didn't think about what you just said. So, anyway, use your prefrontal cortex. If it's not working, activate it. This is how you activate it. You smash yourself in the head. Don't do that. So those are some ways that we can protect the love. So if you see the guys walking around in conversation just smashing themselves in the head, you know what's going on. Those are some ways that we can protect the love. But here's the deal. Like I started, I know you're going to do what you're going to do. I know that my opinion is just my opinion. But I think that if we just look at the truth of God's word, when we leave this place, we don't just become hearers of the word, but we're doers of God's word. Do what the word says, and your life will be better for it. Your relationships will be better for it. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful that you've given us insight on every aspect of life. God, every part of our lives, God, you've given wisdom and truth for us to live by. God, and it's no different with our relationships. God, I pray that you would help us to not just hear these things or to know these things, but to do something with them. God, that you would help us to guard our hearts because it's the most important thing that we can do, God, and it determines the course of our lives. God, I pray that you help us to not just know that, but to do something with it. God, if people in the room are single, Father, and they're feeling some struggle with who they are and their identity, God, I pray that you would help them to feel this morning, to know this morning, that being single is okay, God. In fact, it can be a gift, an opportunity for them to work on themselves and to develop their relationship with you and stop worrying about finding the right one, but worry about becoming the right one. God, I pray that every person in this room, every single one of us, would realize that we're not above the temptation. We're not above sexual temptation. God, that everybody is given to it. God, and I pray that you would help us to put in the necessary measures to protect ourselves. God, it's not a joke, and it's not something to take lightly, God, but we would be serious about it, God, because we know that it detrimentally affects our relationships. And lastly, God, I pray that you would help us to think before we speak, that we would choose to build up, not to tear down. We would choose to encourage, not to discourage. That you would help us, God, to always choose life over death when it comes to our words. Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for everything you do. And it's in your awesome name we pray. And everybody said, amen.